150 years ago, Union and Confederate forces settled into camps just outside a small town in Pennsylvania. Myth has it they picked that town because it had shoe factories. Not true. It's also not true it was the largest battle of the Civil War, but it was certainly the costliest. The Union troops defeated the Confederate soldiers, but all paid dearly. Over 3 days of fighting, 51,000 were killed, wounded, or maimed at Gettysburg. This is the sound of echo taps. It'll be heard several times over the next few days as thousands of tourists visit the Gettysburg National Military Park for the 150th anniversary. The challenge for the park, to balance tourism with respectful remembrance and truth. The grounds, so soaked in American blood, were consecrated a few months after the battle by President Lincoln as he delivered the Gettysburg Address. But he never spoke to two African-American Union soldiers who recite the Gettysburg Address back to him in the film Lincoln.
That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. That this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom. And that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
John Heiser is one of the historians at Gettysburg National Military Park. He joins us for a look at the weeks ahead. Do people come and ask you, did Lincoln speak to those troops?
More and more, yes. History is taking kind of a back seat in our schools, unfortunately. In the 3 days of battle here, 46,000 young men, all Americans, were killed, wounded, maimed, or wound up as prisoners of war. In that entire month-long campaign, which began June 9th and ended on July 14th, 51,000 American lives were changed forever, killed, wounded, captured, missing. And I often say, if you want to see what numbers are and get an idea what those numbers are, next time you go to a large football game, large baseball game, look at the stands around you, because that's about equal to the number that were lost in 1863 during the Gettysburg campaign.
So how do you handle this delicate notion of hallowed ground and anniversary? For instance, there's Pickett's Charge, one of the most famous battles at Gettysburg. Do you do reenactments?
No, we don't. We sponsor living history programs on the battlefield. These are volunteers who come dressed as Union Confederate soldiers and are very much experts in the field of what soldier life was during the American Civil War. But we don't sponsor opposing units, opposing fire on hallowed ground.
Yeah. But how do you get across the notion of what that battle might have been like? We understand you have people, and are going to have people in the next several weeks, a lot of events at Gettysburg, and one of them is these field walks where people will walk across the field where a battle was.
We think that gives people the best sense of what it was like, taking people over that part of the field where these regiments fought, where these men fought, and telling their story has more of an effect on people and their understanding of the event than would, say, a reenactment of fellows shooting each other with blanks over an open field.
What is that like? Because it's beautiful now. It can be tranquil. But we're hearing stories, for instance, you know, thousands were buried right in shallow graves. And then when there were heavy rains, bodies floated up and people thought they were seeing ghosts. In fact, there are ghost tours at Gettysburg at other times. We know Lincoln spoke. How does it feel to walk over that ground?
It's kind of an eerie feeling at times. For us to take people over the battlefield really is quite a privilege.
Well, Pickett's Charge is commemorated in a giant painting. This is the Battle of Gettysburg Cyclorama. People can go into this building and be in the middle of this cyclorama with a sound and light show. Let's just listen to a little bit of the sound. How do you see people respond when they're standing looking at this painting and hearing this sound?
They're overwhelmed. It put you right in the middle of a historic event. This particular one was first shown in Boston in 1884 before it was brought here in 1913. It put people right in the middle of what Pickett's Charge maybe looked like. All of the confusion, the cannon, the horses, the smoke. This was Gettysburg in 1863, almost like going to a movie.
No. And it's a pretty gory one.
Absolutely. Hundreds of men died in the most horrible possible ways.
There have been reunions of soldiers who fought in the Civil War. In 1938, at the 75th reunion, films were made of the former soldiers greeting each other. You can see them shaking hands across the wall. Let's listen.
2,500 veterans gather from north and south to mark the 75th anniversary of America's Armageddon.
Hello!
You know, we're reminded that 75 years later, that meant that they were children when they fought, you know, in their teens. And you are going to have readings from letters and diaries of soldiers. I understand you have one with you. Read from the letter from Captain Francis Byrd of the North Carolina 11th Volunteer Infantry. He's writing to his cousin about a soldier and telling her that this soldier died on the first day of fighting.
It's one of the more descriptive letters that we have in our collection here, and letters like this will be read every night during the three-day anniversary. Captain Byrd was the captain of Company C at 11th North Carolina, which had come from Birdie County, North Carolina. The letter he wrote on July 17, 1863, is to a cousin, and he says, "I received your letter directed to Joseph Casper, and knowing it to be from you, I opened it. You have heard before the death of poor Joe. He was killed on the first day of July in a fight near Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Eddie Rhodes, who was lieutenant at the company, at the same time was also killed. We're ordered to charge several lines of battle of the enemy strong supported by batteries of artillery. My company suffered very severely, lieutenants, six privates killed, and many more wounded. I saw them all fall, but could stay with them but one moment as I was compelled to proceed in the charge, and before I could see that Joe was dead. The last I heard him say was, 'Corp, I am killed.' He fell nobly in the midst of his company, in the full discharge of his duty. He was shot in his leg, but the mortal wound was through his bowels, and he only lived but a short time." I think to receive a letter like that had to be devastating to the folks at home.
Do you ever see encounters between someone from the North and the South? What does it symbolize now?
It symbolizes not just a battleground, but it's a ground of reunion and reunification. You mentioned the reunion in 1938. In 1913 was the 50th anniversary of the battle. 54,000 Union Confederate veterans camped in this battlefield for 3 days. These former enemies walked over the battlefield like old friends, shaking hands, walking arm in arm, telling the old stories. And in several cases, soldiers who had helped others who were wounded on the other side, former enemies, had helped their former enemies. These men had encounters here in this field. They felt so strongly about it being a site of not just a battle to commemorate the two armies, but also as a site of reunification of the country. It wasn't just a matter of being in the blue or the gray. It was that they were all Americans. And what happened happened. The war is finally over.
That's John Heiser, historian for Gettysburg National Military Park. John, thanks so much for sharing some thoughts with us.
You're welcome, Robin. Anytime.
The 150th anniversary of Gettysburg is formally July 1st through 3rd. To find out more, go to hereandnow.org. And we will have many more stories about the importance of this battle in the coming days when we also formally relaunch. That's going to happen on Monday.
You ready?
I'm ready. You ready?
I'm ready. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. Have a great weekend and join us to see what next week brings here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.